We mentioned last week that from Yosef HaTzadik and last week's parasha, 2 weeks ago, we have an insight in how to deal with Ben Adam L'Makim. Yosef HaTzadik had the ups and downs of life, so perhaps from him we learn how to deal with the ups and downs of life. I think in last week's parasha, we maybe learn a different lesson from Yosef, maybe how to deal with Ben Adam L'Chaveri, how to have interpersonal relationships with people and how to interact with people. The Oznayim L'Torah, Reb Zalman Sirotzkin, points out something interesting about Yosef HaTzadik. If you look in last week's parasha and the parasha before, Yaakov, Yosef does a lot of crying. By Yevki Yosef and this week's parasha, Yosef cries a lot. Points out Reb Zalman Sirotzkin, Yosef is a crier. He makes this observation. My personal observation would be is maybe the Torah is teaching us a very important lesson in life. We have this idea that it's not manly to cry. Real men don't cry. It's probably a bumper sticker somewhere, or for sure a t-shirt. Yosef HaTzadik was a pretty manly guy. I would think so. Second in command. And Yosef had no problem crying. The Torah is teaching us that it's okay to cry. There's nothing wrong with crying. Doesn't make you any less of a man. Doesn't make you less of a person. But adds up Zalman Sirotzkin one very important nekuda. He says, you know what made Yosef great? And you know who makes someone great? If you can cry for someone else. When you have the ability to cry for someone else's pain, not only your own pain, that's greatness. He writes, that is why Yosef was zeicha legedula. He was able to cry for someone else's pain. When he saw the shvatim and he saw what they were going through, he was okay. He was sitting in a nice, comfortable office. His life was okay, but he saw when he put his brothers through the ringer, and they were in pain, and he cried. Says Reb Zalman Sirotzkin, when a person can cry for someone else's tzara, that makes him great. Sadly enough, in Kalaiso, we don't have a shortage of tzaras to cry for, but I think what happened last week in Eretz Yisrael should make us all cry. Today we live in a world of technology where we can see and hear everything that goes on miles and miles away. And we got, I wouldn't call it the schus, but we were able to see a levaya of a 30-week-old baby that didn't need to be delivered at the time that it was. And you watch the levaya and you hear the parents were even at the levaya. They were in the hospital recuperating from their own injuries. The grandfather was the one who attempted to give a hesped. You can't really give a hesped on a 30-week-old fetus that had to have an emergency C-section because the mother got shot by a terrorist for walking down the street in Eretz Yisrael. And you see it and it makes you want to cry. And you should cry. And Yosef HaTzadik teaches us that when you feel the pain of someone else, you should cry. Don't say to yourself, okay, no, tzaris, let's scroll up to the next article, what else is going on in the world. No, we got to stop, we got to read it, we got to think about it. This is painful. This young couple, this was their first child, as they were expecting, their first child, baby was healthy, everything was great, 30 weeks, not far away from delivery. You can imagine their excitement, their happiness, their feelings, and this is what happens. You have to cry. How can you not cry? How can you read the article, read the stories and not cry, or at least be brought to tears, or at least feel that you should cry? You know, okay? Not all of us are such big criers. We can't always cry on demand. But at least feel like, I know I should be crying when I read this. This should really bother me. This should not just be, okay, nope. Another tzara, chalk it up to tzara's class. It should bother us. And that's what Yosef HaTzadik is teaching us then. It's an important lesson in life that we have to be able to cry for other people's pain. We got to feel other people's tzaras. We got to be able to feel and really feel. The way you know you're really feeling it is if it brings you to tears. Yeah, you hear things all the time. But yeah, in one ear, out the other ear, you feel for a second. When a person can cry about something, it really bothers him. And that's what Yosef HaTzadik taught us in last week's parasha. But Yosef HaTzadik, I think, in last week's parasha, gave us some very important tips for dealing with other people in this world. And the Medrash tells us that Yosef HaTzadik saw that the fight was escalating between him and his brother Yehuda. He saw that it was getting heated. And the Medrash tells us Yosef was a chacham. He ended the conversation. So Reb Henoch Leibowitz in his Sefer Chedushi Lev on Chumash, taken from his shmuzim that he gave in the yeshiva, he points out, what was the great chachma of Yosef? He says, how many times in life have we been in a discussion with a spouse, family member, employee, neighbor, and we see the fight is escalating? We know, how do you know a fight is escalating? Because each one's tone starts to get a little higher. It's a good tool of knowing. When the tone starts to rise, you know, instead of talking on one level, it gets louder. The volume seems to increase. And then the question is, where is this going to end? Usually those types of fights, where they start to get really heated, they end up in what we call in Shalom Bayis world, we call it dirty fighting. It's going to end up being screaming and yelling and throwing things at each other and name-calling and insults and things like that. Says Reb Henoch, a chacham is someone who realizes that and he ends the conversation. He stops the conversation, he walks away. I give workshops to young couples about Shalom Bayis. And what I have to spend a lot of time doing is undoing the mistakes that society has taught them. One of the biggest mistakes society has taught young couples is you're not allowed to go to bed angry at each other. That's like your gimel ikrim. Every young couple knows this. You're not allowed to go to bed in the middle of a fight with your spouse. It's 100% not true. And if you speak to any good therapist, they'll tell you it's exactly the opposite. Sometimes when you're in a heated debate, the best thing you can do is to end the conversation, not by not talking about but what we call timeout. You say to the other spouse, this is getting too heated, this is getting too much, too quick, I want to take a step back and I want to burn off some energy. So the guys go to the gym and they work out, the girls bake 150 potato kugels for the rest of their life, whatever it is, and they let off some steam. Because often in life when a conversation starts to escalate, it loses the actual conversation, ends up being more anger and other things like that. Says Reb Henoch, that's the lesson in life. When you deal with people, and it happens all the time, we have conversations with people. We always do. That's part of life. We have to interact with people. And sometimes it gets heated, and sometimes it gets very emotional, and sometimes it gets mean. And if you're a chacham, like Yosef was, you realize, okay, we got to end this conversation. You have to say, I'm sorry, I'm getting too heated. It's getting too much. I need to step back. I need to take a break. And it's getting too much. And people say, oh, that means you're chickening out. It means you're giving up. No, it doesn't mean that. It means you're smarter than the other person. It means you don't want this to turn into World War III. Instead, you'd rather this be a normal conversation. So that's another thing Yosef Atzadik taught us on last week's parasha. When things get heated, sometimes the best thing is to take a break. But perhaps the greatest lesson we learn from Yosef is when he finally gives his brothers the final statement, Ani Yosef O'id Avichai. So there's a famous Beis Halevi, I'm sure everyone has heard of it before, but I want to point out what Rabbi Shawai says on that pasuk. He says, Ani Yosef O'id Avichai, says the Medrash, this was a Musa Shmuz. This was a big Musa Shmuz that he gave the brothers. Asks all the Mepharshim, what type of Musa Shmuz is that? It's a pretty weak Musa Shmuz. So Rabbi Shawai points out what he was saying to his brothers was, Ani Yosef, you guys all had me wrong. You guys had me pegged that I was this evil villain, this roidif, this horrible person. And look, I'm not nobody. I'm none of those things. You totally misread me. How often in life do we sum up people so quickly and we decide, okay, this guy is no good and he's treif and he's bad and he's the enemy. So quick we sum up people. Yosef was telling his brothers, you guys just didn't read me well enough. You would have got to know me a little better. Instead of trying to kill me, we could have spent some time together. We could have, you know, kicked the ball around in the backyard or something. Instead of trying to plot to kill me, you would have got to know I'm not all those things. Maybe I gave off that perception, but it's not me. I'm really a sweet guy. I'm not a bad guy. Says about Shavai, so often in life, the reason why we have problems with other people is because we're so quick to judge them up. Oh, this guy's treif. I know, I could see, based on the way he dresses and then based on the shul he dames in, he's for sure not one of me. You know, he can't be my friend. He's treif, he's possible. If a person would sometimes spend a little bit more time getting to know other people, perhaps we'd realize that they're not so different and they're really a lot better than we give them credit to be. But then Rabbi Shavai gives another very important information for life. This is rebuking. Where's the rebuke? So often in life, we have to rebuke people. We do. Spouses. I don't mean rebuke. Sometimes you have to point out their flaws and their chesroinus. Children, people at work, neighbors. How do you do it? So many people think the way you rebuke is you wag your finger at them a lot of times, and you scream and yell, and you put them down. Says Rabbi Shavai, the more correct way to do it is in a way where you just point out the flaws and let them realize on their own that they made a mistake. Instead of saying, you did this wrong, and you're bad, and you're terrible, and you're a horrible person, and I'm better than you. No. Ani Yosef O'id Avichai. Listen, I'm letting you know. I'm the same Yosef. I'm not a bad guy. And you deal with that information. You process it the way you want to process it. It limits the blow and the harshness of the Musar, but it also makes it sit in much better. You realize yourself, oh, wow, that was bad. That was really bad what I just did. Instead of yelling and screaming and you're no good and you're treif and you're this and no, just point it out. Listen, this you should know. You know, there's Allah on Shulchan Aruch. This is not like you. Instead of saying you're a bum, you're an amoritz, you don't know anything. You should know. By the way, you know, Mr. Brewer says not like you. Or I think there might be another way of understanding that taste. A lot of nicer ways of doing it. Or, you know, I really would prefer you do something differently. Instead of putting down and putting down and putting down, it's an important lesson in life. Says Rabbi Shavai that I think Yosef is teaching us how to interact with each other. And maybe that's why we read this parasha right around the Asar B'Tevis. Asar B'Tevis to most people is a non-existent fast day. It's like not on the radar. It's over before it begins. It starts really really late. It's over really early. It's like not even on the radar. Agav, I think it really starts earlier than they posted, but that we talked already about when we did Zmanim. From my personal sheet, I think the fast starts 5:46. Okay, I think most people have it 6:02, but that's my shita, whatever it may be. And the fast ends whenever it ends. So for most people, it's not even on the radar. By the time you come home from work, you're still the fast is over already 2 hours ago. But the truth is, in halacha, the fast is treated much more strict than we think. There's a prima gadma, the Ber Halacha quotes, that we treat it, well, that's another chesed that can fall out on Shabbos, the Beis Yosef discusses that. These things we've discussed in many different occasions, but I'm just trying to bring out the point, not for halacha shir, but to bring out the point that the prima gadma writes that we treat Asar B'Tevis like the 9 days. Why? Because this was the beginning. although it wasn't the actual Chor, but the Beis HaMikdash didn't come down now, although there's an unbelievable Medrash, the Medrash says that Kosh Baruch Hu really wanted to bring down the Beis HaMikdash in Teves, but he didn't, because it was a little colder. How much colder is it? They're talking about Eretz Yisrael, it's not like here in America or in Europe, but it was a little colder. Kosh Baruch Hu felt bad for Klai, so he didn't want to bring the Beis HaMikdash down when the weather's colder, he waited till over the weather's warm. But this was the beginning. The beginning of the Chor Beis HaMikdash is Tuesday, and therefore we're more machmir than we are for other fast days. Why is the Beis HaMikdash not rebuilt yet? We know the second Beis HaMikdash is because Sinas Chinam. We can't get along with each other. Why can't we get along with each other? Because all the reasons we mentioned earlier. We sum up people so quickly and we escalate our fights and things like that. So maybe that's why that we read this parasha right around the time of Asar B'Tevis to remind ourselves we got to take a lesson from Yosef Atzadi. We got to follow Yosef's lead, how he dealt with his brothers and how he dealt with other people, and to learn what's a good and a healthy interpersonal relationship. There's a beautiful word, Al Pidrush, it's kedai to mention. The pasuk says in the beginning of the parasha, it says Yehuda says, "Eich avi el avi, hey, how can I go up to my father? V'hanar inein iti, and the child is not with me." The pasuk pshat is referring to Binyamin. So a beautiful pshat based in Jewish. How can a person come up to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Acham Evesim, v'hanar inein iti, my children are not with me? How can a person come up Acham Evesim and he can't say he properly was mechanech his children? We talk about this often. I think it's kedai, you know, just because our children are grown up and they're married and they have their own children and they moved out. And hopefully they're self-sufficient, hopefully. I saw a study that's an amazing study that came out, again, more in the non-Jewish world, where parents today are not putting away any money for their retirement because they're still busy supporting their children. They can't even put away any money for their retirement. Okay, in the firm world, it's a little different, a little more complicated, you know. But nonetheless, people have this idea that, you know, once a kid gets married, then he's for sure on his own. The pasuk says, no, a person can't come to Avit, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'hanar inein iti, if he doesn't have yet... Make sure he took care of his children. He has to make sure he's mechanech them apidarkei shel Torah. Although you're already a person much older, a person dies, he's already, hopefully by then he's a great, great, great grandfather. Nonetheless, the Torah requires us to constantly be concerned and involved in our children's chinuch, to keep on guiding them. They might be old and they might be a grandfather themselves, but we have to always be involved with our children's chinuch. Therefore, the pasuk says, how can I come up? A person can't come up to his avi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'anar inein iti, if he didn't make sure he was mechanech his children properly. Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz has a beautiful piece that's quoted by many. We know that when Yaakov meets up with Paroi, Paroi asks him his age, and Yaakov gives a rather interesting response. He basically says it's been a rough life. And the Medrash tells us that Yaakov was punished 33 years for the 33 words in the Pasuk. He lost 1 year for each word in the Pasuk. The problem is, if you count the Pasukim, Yaakov's response is not 33 words. It's only 33 words with Paroi's question and Yaakov's response. So ask Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz, what's the taina on Yaakov for Yosef asking, for Paroi asking the question? So Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz has an unbelievable idea. He says, Yaakov walked into Paroi, and he looked a broken man. He looked depressed. So his look motivated the question. So although he didn't ask the question, but since it motivated the question, his face showed, gave off an impression of sadness and difficulty that motivated Paroi to ask the question. He's held accountable for that also. So they say so often in life, you know, they say a line, I think they quoted from earlier, that our face is a rishus harab. Everyone sees how we look. We interact with people all day long. You know, sometimes we have to put on a smile and go out there and make it look like we're happy. Are we really happy? We shouldn't walk around always so depressed and always moping around and nothing is good and everything is horrible. Yosef Yaakov HaTzadik was punished because he gave off such a depressed look that he looked so sad and life was so difficult. Although he didn't ask the question, he was responsible. Torah tells us that they went to Goshen. Yehuda was sent to Goshen to build yeshivas. So I was just seeing Rabbi Billet asked this question on his parsha sheets in the office. Why was Yehuda sent to Goshen? It was Yehuda. Yehuda was not the Rosh Yeshiva. Yehuda wasn't the Loim Dei Torah. Yisachar was the Loim Dei Torah. Levi was the Rosh Yeshiva. Why Yehuda? What's Yehuda's role? So he gives some interesting answers. I think the answer is Pashat. From this week's parsha, we see Yehuda. Yehuda had such a passion. You saw Yehuda, he stood in front of Yosef, and he gave him a drasha, and he gave him a speech, and he laid it out. Yehuda was passionate. Yehuda was somewhat illogical as well. Because often when a person is very passionate about things, he does things that don't make so much sense. Because that's what passion does. To build Moistas HaTorah, back then and today, you need people that are passionate, and that are driven, and will not take no for an answer. Yehuda did not take no for an answer. It wasn't in his vocabulary. Yehuda would do everything and anything to make sure things happened. He did that at the beginning with Yosef. He did it with Binyamin. Yehuda was driven. Yaakov knew, you want to build Moistas HaTorah, you need people that are driven. People that are more like, okay, you know, if it works into my schedule, I'll go to a meeting, I'll show up. You're not going to build anything like that. To build Torah, you need people that are driven, that are motivated, that have achrayis, they care about something, and that's how Torah is built. That's how Torah was built in Mitzrayim, and that's how Torah is built today. Look around at all the great organizations, all the Moises HaTorah, all the wonderful organizations that we have today are built by people that care and do things, and they don't sleep over it, and they spend hours and hours and days figuring out how could they improve it and things like that. And for most of these people, this is not their full-time job. For many people who start organizations, it's not their parnasa, they're parnasa for something else. But this is their passion. When a person has a passion for something, then he's zoicha to be able to build Torah. There's a fast they brought down called Tes Tevis, the ninth day of Tevis. I'm not going to get into it here. It's another share. I urge you all to take a listen to it. I gave this share here last year, so it's up on the website. Fascinating topic of what happened on the ninth day of Tevis, that the Shulchan Aruch writes it's a fast day, but no one knows why. So it's a little of a cliffhanger. I urge you all to take a listen. We spoke about this last year in the Chumashir. I just got the message this morning about the Patira of Rabbi Hertzberg. I didn't know him well. I worked at that time. I was in the high school. I was in Atar Yaakov, and he was the manal of the elementary school. We didn't have that much to do with each other, but I still remember Adi Yemezeh, and it's worth Kedai. It's Kedai to quote, and I've quoted him many times. He came once on a Rosh Chodesh to the high school, and he spoke for the boys. And he said, over a vort, which is Kedai to say now, and I've said it over here many times. I'll say it over again. It's for sure going to be an aliyah for his neshama. He pointed out from one of the Ger Rebbe's, where a fellow once came to the Ger Rebbe, and he had a very difficult time in life. Life was difficult. And the Ger Rebbe told him, I think what you should do is when you say Halal on Rosh Chodesh, you should have in mind when you say the words Ana Hashem. So the fellow listened like a good chassid. He did it time after time, and it didn't work. So one of the Ger Rebbe's died, so he came to the next Ger Rebbe. I forget which one it was already. So he said, Rebbe, I went to your father. He gave me this advice. It's not working. He said, what do you think my father meant when he said Ana Hashem? So he said, Ana Hashem Oshia, no, Ana Hashem Atzlechada. He said, no, Ana Hashem Ki Ani Avdecha. When you want to have a tzlach in life, and you say the words, Ana Hashem, Keni Avdech Hashem, I'm your Eved. I don't understand the way the world works. I'm an Eved. You think an Eved has a say in how things work? You think an Eved, they ask the Eved, they bring the Eved into the big meetings about how to run the company? Can you imagine bringing the janitor in when you're deciding, are you going to buy or sell things in the office? You don't bring the janitor in. So, Ani Hashem, Keni Avdech, I'm in a pashit to Eved. Why do I have to understand the Cheshbonis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That was a beautiful pshat, and that's a pshat that I remember. I must have heard this almost 10 years from him, 10 years ago from him. It's a beautiful pshat. I try to say it over whenever we say halal. I think it's such an important lesson. He's trying to give this over to the boys, the chashivas of Ona Hashem, Keni Avdecha. We have to live our lives like we're in Eved Hashem. It's not our job to understand the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mr. Hashem, that should be a zchus for his neshama again. I'm sure many of you know him here quite well, had a lot to do with him, got to see him in action, got to see his ability and his talents. Mr. Hashem, I guess we'll hear more about it over the week. The way Jewish news travels is rather quickly. There's publications and there's writings. It's, Mr. Hashem will be able to grow from his life, and it should be a aliyah for his neshama. Okay. We're back over here in Shabbos. It's been a little bit of a break. We got to take a break from Mila. We'll take a little bit more of a break from Mila today, but we're going to get back into the sugya. Just to remind yourselves where we're up to, we're holding over here in the Gemara, we're trying to figure out how do we know that Machshirei Mila is Deicha Shabbos. We have a principle, according to Eliezer, that not only is the Mila Deicha Shabbos, but the prep for the Mila is Deicha Shabbos as well. So the question in Taisus was, how do you know? So Taisus has a pshat that would learn it out from Sukkah, we learn out Mila from Sukkah, we learn out Tzitzis and Mezuzah from Sukkah, we learn out all mitzvahs, a Deicha Shabbos, u'machshireha, from the mitzvah of Sukkah. So Taisus over here really has a side question that we could have asked a long time ago. Taisus starts off like this: Vim Toima. Frek Taisus Akasha. Umisukah hechi matzil malav. How do you think to learn out from Sukkah that machshirei mitzvah deicha Shabbos? V'chein more kol hanach delekamon. All the Gemara, we'll bleed that. We'll get to it. There's a whole Gemara. The Gemara has drushes. How do you know lulav deicha Shabbos? How do you know Sukkah deicha Shabbos? How do you know matzah deicha Shabbos? Then the Gemara middle has a kasha. The Gemara says, 1 second. Why can't I just learn one as a memetzin to everything? Why does each place need a pasuk? So it says over there, v'nigmar minei, adarabah, frek tais, I got a better kasha. Nigmar mikibet al v'eim u'binyan beis ha-migdosh. Frek tais, why don't we go a little, let's search deeper into the Torah. If we were to search deeper into the Torah, we'd actually find two places in the Torah where the mitzvahs are not deicha Shabbos, such as, kibet al v'eim. Okay, we'll talk about that. Obviously, what does it mean? Kibbutz not deicha Shabbos. Your parents ask you to bring them a cup of water on Shabbos. You don't have to answer them. What do you mean? Kibbutz aim should be deicha Shabbos. Binyan beis hamikdash. Okay, that's something we can understand a little better. The actual building of a beis hamikdash is not deicha Shabbos. The loy deicha Shabbos to yitzber kam divamos. That's the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Vav. The Gemara over there is discussing Asei Dachal Leis Asei. So the Gemara over there is a whole kasha. Why do I need a special pasuk to tell me that Binyamin Samit is not the Chashavis? Thank you. Why can't I just say, it must be because obviously Asei Dachal Leis Asei. The Asei of Binyamin Samit is the Lava of Shabbos. That's why I need a special pasuk to tell me not. That's the Gemara's Cheshbin in Yevamos Daf Vav. So if I see two places in the Torah where mitzvahs are not the Shabbos, so why don't I learn out from here that kol mitzvahs are like this? Kibbutz Avim is a mitzvah, Binyan Beis Hamikdash is a mitzvah. They're both not Deicha Shabbos. So if they're not Deicha Shabbos, so here also, why don't we learn out that nothing is Deicha Shabbos? V'yishloim me'efet Taisvus. The Hochi Gamirle. No, Zok Taisvus, let me explain to you what the agenda of our Gemara was. We wanted to learn out me'metzinu bahanach she'mitzvahs me'heges b'Shabbos. I wanted to find the mitzvah in the Torah where the mitzvah is Deicha Shabbos. Not only is the mitzvah, but it's machshir in Deicha Shabbos. The mitzvah and it's prepped to make the mitzvah happen. Af, so too, kol mitzvah shenaheges b'Shabbos, machshir ha Deicha Shabbos. Again, sukkah is a mitzvah that we do on Shabbos. We sit in the sukkah on Shabbos. And sukkah, you can build the sukkah on Shabbos. So you have this, the mitzvah is applicable on Shabbos, and the machshir are applicable on Shabbos. But says Taisvis, Hilkoch lo yishayach lemelech mikibud. You can't compare the kibud of aim. The haynu ha-mitzvah atzmoi. Kibud of aim over there, we're looking at the mitzvah itself. V'loy machshireha. The question over there by kibud of aim is it's not a question of machshirei deicha Shabbos. That's a question of the mitzvah itself. Why? Dishchaitli basheli. When your father asks you to cook him a steak or to make him a cake, haynu kibud atzmoi. That's the mitzvah itself. That's not a hechshir mitzvah. Kishem misakel loy macholoy. This is a big question. Right? A person's father calls him up and says, I want supper. So you run out and you buy him supper. What exactly is the mitzvah? Is that a mitzvah or is that a heksher mitzvah? Maybe the cooking of supper is a heksher mitzvah. The mitzvah is having what to eat. Now obviously I can't feed my father if I don't know what to give him. So here Taisus seems to be saying a big chiddush, that the mitzvah itself is the cooking. So when your father asks you on Shabbos to cook him up a steak, the mitzvah itself, which is the cooking, is not deicha Shabbos. V'habinyan nami have a mitzvah. They changed the gear, so I just filled it in for you. But the building base of Mikdash is not a Heksha mitzvah. You can also clarify Chakira. What's the mitzvah of building base of Mikdash? Is it to have a base of Mikdash? Or is it the act of building the base of Mikdash? What would one of the many nafkaminas be? You hire people to build the base of Mikdash. You hire non-Jews. Cheap labor today, right? You hire them to build the base of Mikdash. That might have happened in history. We'll talk about it. But Salvechik has a long piece about it. We'll see hopefully later. Is the binyan the mitzvah itself, or is it merely a heksha mitzvah? What's the mitzvah? Is the mitzvah to have a base of Mikdash? It might be two mitzvahs. It might be machlokes v'shainim. We'll get to it.
But a lot of times we say yetzkar halicha.
Right.
In other words, yetz mitzvahs, let's say, I don't know, dam and shul. But you get the halicha of going a long way to get it.
That's correct.
So by that you see that the mitzvah itself is actually the davening itself. And
that's correct.
Halicha is something different.
Right, so that's, we usually call that heksher mitzvah. Meaning if the only way I can get to the mitzvah is through this outcome, so that's a heksher mitzvah. The most classic example we've spoken about, building a sukkah, right. Or getting married. The mitzvah, is there a mitzvah to get married? The mitzvah is to have kids. And the only way you can have kids halakhically is by marriage. So marriage is not a mitzvah. It's called a heksher mitzvah. That's what we spoke about many times. We'll talk today, but what about Puru Revu? See, Puru Revu is a little complicated. Where's the Maisa mitzvah?
Why would you say that marriage is not in and of itself a mitzvah?
That's the question. Where does it say it? That doesn't mean it's a mitzvah. That means that's a good idea. It says in Torah, Ki Gach Hashisha, you should take a lady. So the question is that a tzivah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, because you wanted to get to Peru, that's a big shadow. That's a machloikish b'shoin miksubis. We've spoken about this quite a few times, I think, over the years together. That's a big machloikish b'shoin. Is it a mitzvah? Is it a hechsha mitzvah? The Gemara compares it to getting ready for Shabbos, right? We know the Amoroim.
In the Kabbalistic talk about, you know, coming back two halves of the Shabbos.
Yeah. That doesn't make it a mitzvah. It's important. I'm not denying it. I'm not denying getting married is not an important thing. But it's a question whether or not it's a mitzvah. So here also, Taisa seems to be saying very clearly that these acts are mitzvahs themselves. So therefore, Zok Taisvis, it's not a fair comparison. You want to learn out from a mitzvah like tzitzis, which is applicable on Shabbos, and now we're trying to figure out what about the machshirin, to a mitzvah which the mitzvah itself is not applicable on Shabbos. So it's apples and oranges. So therefore, it says Taisvis, that's why we never would compare tzitzis and other mitzvahs to the mitzvah like Kibud Av V'Eim or Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Fektus Vasem is a very basic kasha, which I kind of alluded to. Why can't you do Kibud Av V'Eim on Shabbos? There's only one example, Shchoitli Basheli. Let's say your father asks you for a cup of water on Shabbos. You can bring him a cup of water. It's no Chelo Shabbos. He asks you for a sefer. Right? Kibud Av V'Eim are things that he gets benefit out of.
Well, I think that's what it means. It means those Kibud Av V'Eim actions that would involve
but that's not Deicha Shabbos. Right, but so you'd say the whole mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Eim is now not Deicha Shabbos?
No, but but as a rule, you can't,
justify
being Mechal Shabbos by saying, well, I did it because I'm being Mechal.
So, okay. So the Sfas Emes points out, he says, Eini Maven, Mati Rutsa be Kibbut. What was Taisa's answer from Kibbut? Mitzvah's Kibbut of Aim, Gam b'Shabbos. B'dvam ha-Mutarim b'Shabbos. You could do plenty of Mutarim different things on Shabbos. So he writes, he says, maybe in Chanami, big Kiddush in the Sfas Emes. Maybe Taisa's Kasha wasn't really so much from Kibbut of Aim. It was really from Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Okay. But then he says a line over here which is beyond my understanding. Or maybe Stamazay. Kibbut of Aim is just a whole different rule. Why? Because we have a rule by Kibbut Avayim. The Gemara says a rule because you and Dad have to listen to me. Since you and Dad have to listen to me, you don't listen to Dad when he tells you to be Mechal Shabbos. So what the Sfas I think seems to be saying is it's just a whole different type of mitzvah. It's a whole different Malchus HaMitzvah. Rabbi Salvechik has an interesting lumdus in Mishim Hashum in Masechet Yevamos. He points this out that Kibbut Avayim by definition is a different mitzvah because it's not clearly defined how to do the mitzvah. Think about it. All of the mitzvahs are Torah. It's clear. Build a sukkah, shake a lulav, eat matzah. Kibbut Avayim is open-ended. It's whatever your father wants, whatever your mother wants, whatever mood they're in. So maybe that's why it's a different type of mitzvah. There's no direct... Tzitzis is a clear mitzvah. Put on a bag of the dollar conference. Clear, direct, straight to the point. Kibbut Avayim is so open-ended. It could be for one person, it could be bringing them supper. For another person, it could be bringing them a newspaper. It's not clear. It's a very open-ended mitzvah. So Rabbi Salvechik suggests maybe that's why Kibbut Avayim is a unique mitzvah, because it's not clearly written in the Torah how to do it. The Gemara has a drasha. The Gemara opens up in Kiddushin. How do you do Kibbut Avayim? So the Gemara says, you feed them, and you clothe them, and you bring them in, you bring them out. But that's relative. Depends on the person.
So, you don't know what a sukkah is either until the Gemara tells you.
No, 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 but we know what the mitzvah... No, no.
But what's
it says in the Torah, sin the sukkah... No, no. It says in the Torah, sin the sukkah 7 days. So we don't know exactly what a sukkah is. So Torah Shabbat Peh, teaching me, but we know what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to sit in something.
Keep it up also. You don't know what it is until the Rabbanim came along and said it means...
No, but the Torah doesn't... The Torah doesn't say anything. The Torah says honor. What does honor mean? That's not a clear-cut way of doing things.
But that's like saying chesed.
And Achrami.
Chesed also, it could be anything. It could be, you know.
Fine, so maybe I'll.
Somebody somewhere.
And Achrami. Fine.
Helping
so, yeah, so we're.
Chesed is not Docha Shabbos.
No, 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 not negated today, but the question was learn out one from the other. So, what could be what Taisa means. The reason why I don't learn from Kibbut Avayim, because Kibbut Avayim is Stam is a unique mitzvah. It's not like regular mitzvahs. Well, Taisa's vision of Kash was learn out from Kibbut Avayim that you're not Docha Shabbos v'mach Shira. So, Rabbi Salvation suggested maybe Kibbut Avayim is just a unique mitzvah. It's a mitzvah on its own. It's a mitzvah where it's not clearly laid out by the Torah what to do. And that's just different. You know, when it comes to Mehmet Zinu.
Is there a pasuk that says Chesed is not Docha Shabbos, or do we know that?
Question
is
where.
No,
no, we don't know.
We know that Chesed
no.
isn't Docha
Shabbos. And Achrami, right, we don't have a drasha.
The difference is, by.
We don't have a drasha like that in the Gemara.
The difference is, by what Rabbi Soloveitchik means, is that by keeping out of aim, every person keeps it differently. Sukkah, everybody has to do it the same.
Right, but
Masa, everybody has to do it
the I think it's. Again, and because the Torah laid it out for us.
Right.
The Torah said, eat matzah.
Kibbut Avayim, it says, on your...
That's right. That's
down.
Right. That's
everybody's
right.
Parents are different.
Correct.
So you, one person could be Kibbut Avayim by bringing them food. The other person might do it somewhere a different way. It's the same mitzvah,
well,
doing it differently.
Exactly.
The other mitzvahs, everybody's doing them the same
I would way. Also add that the Torah didn't give you clear-cut the description what to do. The Torah said, sit in the sukkah, shake a lulav. We might not know what a lulav is. So we have Torah Shabbat Peh tells me that a lulav looks like this and a dasam look fine. But once I know that, I know what to do. I have no idea what does it mean to honor. What does it mean to honor one's parents?
But don't we say there's mitzvahs, there's certain mitzvahs that, in other words, you just do it based on...
But you don't know what to do. You don't know exactly how to do the mitzvah. There's a concept. You know you're supposed to honor your parents. What does honor require? So some people think honor means I have to listen to everything they say. That's clearly not true. We know that from halacha. That you don't have to listen to everything they say. You have to honor them. So honor them could be, you know, you put a building in their name. Now, okay, that's honoring them. Fine, maybe. Honoring them means you build a statue for them. I don't know. It's not clear. This is what Rabbi Salvechik suggests in Yushim Yishum and Yevamos. Okay. Just
now,
mentioning.
What do you say about Ain Sheikh Sulim, you know, Malamdin? In other words, you're saying, Nailed me, Kibbut Avayim and Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Shouldn't we always say
yeah.
that if one itself.
That's correct. So we're going to have to come up, we're going to deal with this much heavier in the Gemara, and we're going to see all the different psukim, and then we'll deal with that. Hopefully, we'll deal with that over there as well. This is the Sfas Emes's Kasha. Rebbe Chanan and Koivet Sa'aris, Simon Yud Gimel. This is the most we're going to learn of Yevamos, so we're going to try to cram in all the Yevamos we can do. Because I don't think we're, I shouldn't say never, you never know, but I don't think we're going to ever do the first parak of Yevamos, even the Asidu Chalosin say part. And most yeshivas, when they learn the first parak of Yevamos, they start with Daf Gimel, they go to like Daf Tes, and then they stop, and they go back to Daf Beis, and they go the other, jump around. There's like 3-4 blot there, just Asidu Chalosin say all day long. Mamash, very geshmak asugyas, very hard sugyas, very big taisism. There's a very big taisism there, Daf Vav, which I decided to skip for us, but we'll talk a little bit about some of the sugyas in Yevamos. So Rabbi Chanan over there in Yevamos and Kavitz Aris, he's a little troubled by this comment of Taisvus. What did Taisvus just tell us? that the mitzvah of shchoitli basheldi, when a person's parent asks him to cook me a steak, so again, yesh lo din, how do you look at it? Is the cooking of the steak a hechsher mitzvah, or the cooking of the steak the mitzvah itself? When is that check in Shemaim going to appear? I'll go this way. The check is going to be when the kid makes the steak. If the kid finishes and makes the steak, he puts it on the plate, and he never brings it to the father. He forgets about it. Leaves it in the oven. You can tell me, oh, he cooked the steak. Taisha says the cooking of the steak is the mitzvah. Says the B'chon, no. Ubevadai, number three. Ein kavanosam loyim at the kiyam ha-mitzvah ha-idei ha-bish kreidim. No, of course not. Taisha doesn't mean that the mitzvah is finished by the cooking of the steak. Gam kreidim sha'ochalov before the father eats it. That doesn't make any sense. Can't be that the mitzvah is just to prepare the steak and dad doesn't even have to eat the steak. That's very hard to understand. Elanir kavanosam kediv ha-ridvah v'chumasadeshin. Rather, he thinks Taisha means like the ridvah v'chumasadeshin. Delinya d'chiyah. When we talk about when you say I say derech lois, I say. So one of the things where I say derech lois, I say, it has to be that the assay is the actual mitzvah, not a hechsher mitzvah. It has to be that the assay that we want to be derech the lav, that assay is actually a mitzvah, not a machshiri mitzvah. Let's say, for example, I say derech lois, I say, I want to say that the assay of Mila should be derech the lav of Shabbos. So what's the assay of Mila? Is the assay of Mila getting the moyel's knife, or the assay of Mila is the actual cutting of the arlo? So here also, when I say the chalais steak, a kibbutz of aim. My father asks me to cook him a steak on Shabbos. I said, listen, is cooking really a mitzvah? It's only a hechsher mitzvah.
Well, maybe the difference is because by the kibbutz of aim, it's what your father said to do. That's the mitzvah. Here it's actually the meal and not preparing the knife.
My father said to cook
the other one's machshiri. Here it's not machshiri.
I'm not sure
because I'm doing what he said.
Did he really mean just to cook it and not send it to him? What he meant is I want a steak, right? So here the question is, when a father says I want a steak, so then the question is I got to get him a steak. So all the hechitimtzes to get the steak, is that hechsher mitzvah or is that mitzvah itself? So Zokta B'chon, no, that's mitzvah itself. Because why? There's only one way to get a steak. You gotta cook it. You gotta cook the steak to get the steak. So that's not stam hechsher mitzvah, Zokta B'chon, and that becomes mitzvah atzmai. It's a very thin line that we talked about many times. What's hechsher and what's mitzvah?
So it's supposed to be like part of... If you went out and ordered it in, it wouldn't give your father the same thing. Like when Yitzhak wanted... Asaph to prepare for him. Do what I like. Prepare it the way I like it.
Could be.
That part of the keyword is that you're going and getting your own hand involved.
Perhaps.
So you're not just going out and calling somebody, make a phone call, hey, can you deliver this?
Right, but if you had to break down the act, and you looked at the act of the steak, and what's the mitzvah?
I would say it's a lot more of a cover that you're doing
could be.
Yourself.
Why is maybe. It any different than any other mitzvah? You can't do any other mitzvah without the hechsher. You can't sit in a sukkah without building the sukkah.
Good.
You can't do a mila without getting
the hechsher. This is why it gets very sticky. I agree with you. Where do we draw the line of hechsher mitzvah versus mitzvah itself? Yeah?
But
I am with you.
But there's the response is the mitzvah. The father tells you to do something, your mother does something, and you initiate that response. They see you do that.
You listen to them.
You listen to them. Okay, so now there is that component of it to finish. But in case of sukkah, you can't build a half a sukkah. So you bought the boards and put it together. Oh, you didn't put it together yet. Okay, you're not a sukkah. Okay, that's a hechsher mitzvah because it's... But here, you're responding.
Wait a minute. Well, is the mitzvah merely responding to their request, or the mitzvah is to fulfill their request? I would have assumed it's to fulfill.
You know, my mother have a bit of
response. finally
listen. Yeah. Today we're happy when our kids just listen to what we say. Let alone actually do something about it. But
well,
listen.
It doesn't matter because what if? I mean, it's silly, but.
Oh, that's the question.
While you're going to the store and doing all. The parent starts eating something else,
right.
And then they don't have an appetite.
Right,
anymore.
Right.
So you did all the other stuff,
right.
And then they don't actually
right.
Eat the steak.
So Pashas
are. The mitzvah,
so
right?
Rabbi Chana would assume. Rabbi Chana would assume you don't get there. Again, you might get schar for trying to do the mitzvah.
But
you would not, right? That's Rabbi Chana's point. Dr. Bukhana, he says
the
mamash clearly.
The meiser on the result.
That's right. Or.
If you focus on the result, is the meiser that you do to get to
that's the question. That's the question. Exactly. That's the nakuda. When you have to get to a final product, there's a steak on her table or on her plate. Now the question
is.
Right, I guess. That's what B'chanan writes.
Isn't that
he writes over here, it's posh, Dr. B'chanan, if mom or dad does not eat the food, you're not getting the mitzvah. I did all I could do. Fine. You did all you can do.
So
yeah.
The question of being rewarded for intention.
That's a separate question, right? You might get a reward, I would assume.
Because
that's right. This is not. You're not going to get a check for doing Kibbutz Avim. You'll get a check for trying to do Kibbutz Avim. But look at the end of Rabbi Chanan. Then he says, same thing with Beis HaMikdash. David Gufa HaMitzvah. The actual building of stones is the mitzvah. Fahayru Dahabinyan Hu Maisa HaMitzvah. Again, one could have argued. One could have said the building of the Beis HaMikdash is the chetimtzah to have a Beis HaMikdash.
So if you stop halfway.
Half a mitzvah. Exactly. Right? What do we tell the little kids? Every brick you put on the Beis HaMikdash, you're getting every mitzvah you do is another brick on the Beis HaMikdash. So if I was a kid, I'd say, so what? But it's not the end result yet, right? Teretz is the binyan itself is a mitzvah. So every shtickle you do is you're getting a mitzvah. So Dr. B'chon, I'll bring you a riot. Kimoi bebiyah. right? When a person has a ma'aseh bia, and then 9 months later a baby's born. When was the ma'aseh mitzvah? The mitzvah is when the baby's born. Is that the ma'aseh mitzvah? The baby being born, that can't be the ma'aseh mitzvah, because you're not involved. That happens naturally, with the help from a doctor, right? So where's the ma'aseh mitzvah? The ma'aseh mitzvah is 9 months ago, when you had the ma'aseh bia. That was the ma'aseh mitzvah, and the kiyama mitzvah will be 9 months later. Now, one could have argued.
But that's what Seth was saying. It makes a difference in the...
Right. So,
is it having children or raising children?
I thought that meant that the final exam. I thought that meant to do whatever you could do. If a person
Osake doesn't mean
it means to make sure you could do whatever you could do to ensure that you can have children. So Zakir Bukhan after Kima Mitzah Ain El Belay the Sabani become a Maisa Mitzvah Hiyabiya. So you could do an act 9 months earlier, that's the Maisa Mitzvah, and the Kima Mitzvah is 9 months later. One would have argued that the Biya is not a Maisa Mitzvah at all. The bia is a hechetipza. It's a hechsher mitzvah. You can't have children without a ma'aseh bia. So therefore, what's the bia? It's a hechsher mitzvah. No, that's the mitzvah. So he says the same thing with kibbut aveim. Kibbut aveim is the ma'aseh mitzvah. The cooking is the ma'aseh mitzvah. The kima mitzvah is when mom and dad eat the food. The binyan beis hamikdash is the mitzvah. And the kima mitzvah is when the beis hamikdash is complete. That's what seems to be coming out from Rabbi Chaim, which is a big... it's really Tosfos. Rabbi Chaim is making Tosfos clear to us. We would have never thought like this. I don't think we would have thought like that. I think most of us would have thought that Ma'aseh bia is a Hechsher Mitzvah. And B'sholi Shchoitli is also a Hechsher Mitzvah. Tosfos knows. Okay, so these are real mitzvahs. Because if they're just Hechsher Mitzvahs, then Tosfos' answer doesn't make any sense.
I think somebody brought up before, yeah. But I don't understand this point. You know, it's my opinion based on Mikdash, it's doing the actual building. Doesn't mean nowhere does it say that it has to be complete.
Ah, so let's get into binyan beis hamikdash. So I found this piece
for.
Rabbi Salvation has a gavaldik piece in Mishim Shurim and Yivamas Davav, which is where the sugya really is, where he talks about binyan beis hamikdash. I thought I anticipated someone might ask about binyan beis hamikdash. I think let's talk a little bit about binyan beis hamikdash. So he goes like this. Again, there's a lot of more cheshbonos that we're not really getting into. There's a long tesis in Yavam. It's a big discussion. Rabbi Salvation makes some very interesting arvas that's pashut relevant for our sugya to understand the mitzvah of binyan beis hamikdash. He writes like this. Ulefiza aleinu lahavin alibid dehari. That's the rishita. Ma'u kavonas ha-gimara ba'mira, ba'amra, the binyan beis hamikdash have a hechsher mitzvah. There's a comment like that in the Gemara in Yavam, which we'll make believe we didn't see that for now because it complicates our tesis. Ha'lachayu binyan beis hamikdash yesh ma'is mitzvah. Like our tesis says, right? Binyan beis hamikdash is a ma'aseh mitzvah. So he writes, "V'niru she'af b'mitzvah is binyan beis hamikdash chaser ma'aseh mitzvah." Okay, even though the mitzvah of building a beis hamikdash, they're still lacking in the mitzvah. Ki ha'mitzvah miskayemes k'shachevtzo shel ha'beis hamikdash hi benuya. So the mitzvah is when the beis hamikdash is up. That's the mitzvah. Avoleka b'ma'aseh mitzvah livnoyes esabayis. Now this is obviously against our Tosfos. Our Tosfos keeps on saying that the binyan beis hamikdash is a mitzvah. Says Rabbi Salvation, no, according to the certain Rishonim and Yavamis, the building of the beis hamikdash is really what we call a hechsher mitzvah. The mitzvah is to have a beis hamikdash put up. How do you know? So he says, v'haraya, I'll bring you a raya. The l'shitas Rashi, habayis ha'shlishi lo yivnai de b'nei adam. The third and final beis hamikdash, who's going to build it? Rashi says, it's going to come to Eliyahu be'esh min hashamayim. Who's the ma'aseh binyan? It's not ma'aseh binyan. If the binyan is a mitzvah, so shouldn't it have to be done by a bas of adam? Why not?
Because maybe it's a mitzvah to do something and a mitzvah to have it also.
Oh, that's the question. Is there a mitzvah to build a Beis HaMikdash or is there a mitzvah to have a Beis HaMikdash?
That's it. It's only a mitzvah to build it if you can't build it. If it comes down to Min
HaShemayim, okay, maybe. You can't build it. Maybe. He writes, Ki etzem ha-mitzvah hi she-yeh Beis HaMikdash b'nuyah b'mkeimoy. V'loy she-anoshim yivnohu. Not that people should build it. Then he brings a right from a Rambam. V'chein nami mashmak tzas m'losh and a Rambam. The Rambam writes in Perek Aleph Mehilchos Beis HaBechira, Mitzvah Saseh Lasa is Bayis Lashem, Muchon Liyois Makrivim Boha Karbonis. There's a mitzvah to build, it sounds like from the Rambam, Mitzvah Lasa is Bayis Lashem. Mitzvah to build a house. Why? Muchon Liyois Makrivim Boha Karbonis, V'choy Gim Aleim Gimel Pom Meshon. Why should you have a Beis HaMikdash? So you can bring Karbonis, you can be other regal. That's the Lashem in the Rambam.
So that sounds like just being
based on
itself is just a
hechsher. Oh, okay, good. We'll have to get to one of the footnotes over here. So he writes over here, Umash Mektsas. Says Umash Mektsas. She ikra hamitzah miskayem is kishyesh beis hamikdash benuya. She muchon hakav b'karbonis. V'loy haydi etzem ma'is habinyin. So the Rebbe Salvation, that Rambam seems to be saying that the whole building it is just a chetimtsa to get to a place to have karbonis. But if I can come up with another way to have karbonis, lo yitzur.
You had karbonis before.
Right.
Without the base,
that's right.
You don't need the base.
But now we had no. After we outlawed the bombas, so now we have a new platform for how to do things.
But that's because we shot ourselves in the foot. We didn't have to the bombas, and then we hear the
but, point. Right, but now that we have to have it on the base of Middash, or in the base of Middash, how does that work? So it says Rabbi Salavitchi, he thinks the Rambam is mashma, that the mitzvah is just really a hechsher mitzvah to be makiv karbonis. V'oid raya, the b'mikdash of Shleim HaMelech, how you buy him gam goyim. Who built Shleim HaMelech's base of Middash? Right, you think America was the first person to import free labor to build things? Shlomo Melch did it also. Me Avdi Melch Tzurk, he's in B'sachs Melochim, B'sefer Melochim, U'muchach she B'smaise, Binyan B'sem Migdosh, Enei Ela Hechshu Mitzvah. Again, this is a jump. If you assume the Binyan is a Maise Mitzvah, so why would you have Goyim do it? You don't want Goyim doing the Maise Mitzvah. So if it's only a Hechshu Mitzvah, so who cares who does the Hechshu Mitzvah? Mali Goyim, Mali Jews. So Zok Yom HaSalvech, you can see from over here, from the fact that Shlomo Melch hired non-Jews to build the Beis HaMikdash, it must be the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, it's not the mitzvah.
You can mention if there has a Hechshu.
Maybe.
You're allowed to be Docher Shabbos for the Hechshu.
Yeah, but from Halacha L'maisa, we assume Hechshu Mitzvah is really, we get Tzchar for it, and we try. That's his right. So he writes over here, that's his right. Okay, there's only one problem. Now it changes the tune, which is really relevant to our Tosfos.
If it was a Hechshu, like Machan Ephraim by Makan, right, that you make a bracha if a guy does it.
That's correct.
So what? So Mark is a hechsher that someone shouldn't fall off?
That's always the question. How far do these type of hechsher mitzvahs go? You know, can you make a bracha in a hechsher mitzvah? Because, it's the outcome.
That's a hechsher mitzvah. Maybe the mitzvah is the result.
This is always the question that we talk about. I'm with you. So then he writes like this. This is really gewaltig. He says, "Umi'idach, ayin b'rashi ala Torah." So not so fast, Rabbi Salvation. We're forgetting Rashi the Chumash. Rashi says on the pasuk, "V'asuli mikdash." That's the building of the Mishkan. Rashi says, "V'asuli lishmi beis kedusha." The Mishkan had to be built lishma. In fact, Rabbi Salvation, whoa, one second. If it's just a hechsher mitzvah, so why does it be built lishma? I don't understand. Bishlam, if you're telling me now that it has to be done, because the mitzvah is the binyan, so there's rules and regulations how to build. You got to build with Jews, you got to build with Kavana, you got to go to the mikvah first, I get it. But if the building is merely a hechatimtza to get the final result, so why do we care so much? Just like he proved earlier that Goyim can build it, so why can't it be built Shulei Lishma?
Like
tzitzis,
right? You have to have the Shema.
Yes.
Making the
that's
but
correct.
That's not the mitzvah, it's the wear of the
tzitzis. That's right, because there was a specific akpad on how to make tzitzis, or how to do tzitzis. So you could tell me here also, that's Rabbi Salvation himself is going to suggest that maybe there's a certain akpad of what to inject into the walls of the Mishkan. And Achnami, it doesn't really affect the Maisa mitzvah, but you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to be built right, because all the rabbis give long drushes about Lashmi, that the Mishkan has to be done Lashma, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to take away from all the people who give drushes about it. So it's built Lashma. But it doesn't really affect the Maisa mitzvah. The Maisa mitzvah can be done even without the Lashma.
But according to Salvation, you could have a guy make tzitzis too. What should be the difference?
No, because there's a special thing. You need a shema.
And so is here.
No, he's coming one second. That's his kasha. His kasha is 1 second. If you see there's a din l'shma, that should be against everything I've been saying till now. That's his kasha. Then he says, "V'hu sava dasiyas hamishlan zukuka lasiyah l'shma umid be'ino l'shma mashmish etzem asiyah mahavi hamitzvah." Rabbi Salvation is assuming that there's a hakbod on how to do it. That means the how to is part of the mitzvah. Then he writes, "Omba miyishloima no the shani binya hamishka me binya beis hamikdash." Maybe not. Maybe the rules for building beis hamikdash are different than the rules for building the mishka. Why? The binya hamishka neshah. The mishka was a temporary experience. B'midbar etzem aisa binya ha'im etzem hamitzvah. Very interesting svara. So Rabbi Salvechik, this is Kedar, remember we're getting to Sefer Shmois. We'll talk about the mishkan. Rabbi Salvechik thinks that since the mishkan was temporary, that's why the building was a mitzvah, while the beis hamikdash, which was long term. And the building is not a mitzvah. Wouldn't we have assumed ibcha mistavra, as we say, right? So let's see what he says. He says, "Yeshlom edeshani binyan hamishkan binyan beis hamikdash the binyan hamishkan l'sha'a b'midbar etzem aisa binyan ha'im etzem ha'mitzvah ve'ilu l'dayrais." But when it comes to the beis hamikdash, maisa binyan ein el hechsher mitzvah ba'alma the etzem mitzias habayis b'mkoymer harei guf ha'mitzvah. Okay, we'll come back to that svar that he has an inami. Okay, this is even more of a chiddush. Maybe it's not the pshat that it's a din in lishma, but it's a din in a psul and how it was made. If it wasn't made lishma, then the building was lacking in the kedusha that it needs. Okay, whatever exactly those words mean, but it means to say that not it's a chesaron in the ma'aseh binyan, but it's a chesaron in the kedusha injected into the binyan. If you look in the footnote, he's masber very nicely. I don't know if him or Rabbi Reichman added it. I don't know who added it. I'm never clear who wrote the footnotes, but in any case, those are not sure who wrote the top of the sefer. Okay, that's a big. I know Rabbi Reichman wrote. The question is it really from Rabbi Salvechik? That's a internal discussion in Ariyamaze, I think, in some of the circles. Right. Rabbi Rechman definitely did write it. The question is it all authentic from Rabbi Soloveitchik?
It might depend
who you ask. And I found that recently.
What's the other Soloveitchik? Might be his own.
No, I don't think Rabbi Rechman pulled it out of the hat. I think it might be a lot of his understanding, his interpretation. It might not be 100% authentic Rabbi Soloveitchik's Torah. But okay, I don't think that's except the Mahal, but there's definitely such a thought out there. But nonetheless, I don't know who wrote the footnotes. I think that's probably for sure Rabbi Rechman. But nonetheless, in the footnote, he points out an interesting thing. What would Taka be the Svar to Mechab to the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash? So he writes, Oydi Yishloim, the Kivin that sees a Mishkan, he said, Kapor Lam Yisrael. Shtickle Jewish over here. Why did he build a Mishkan? We know the Mishkan was to be Mechab and the Chate Ego. Hoysa HaMitzvah, she's asked by Maisa, sees a Mishkan, ke Maisa Mechab. You got to do an act to get a kapara. It's not just enough to have a result. So since the purpose of the Mishkan was to be a kapara, you got to work to get a kapara. Masha'en came to Binyan Beis HaMikdash. As opposed to the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, that was really the end result. So for the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, the mitzvah is not the building. While when it came to the Mishkan, the mitzvah was the building. He just leaves off, Ach Tzorachin, the Binyan HaMishkan, the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, Nechlolam Bois HaMitzvah Achas V'asuli Mikdash V'shachanti B'seichem. It's all fine and dandy. There's one problem. The Rambam lumps. The Rambam puts the two together. The building of the Mishkan and the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Whenever it says in the Torah, that's the easy way out is the Nitziv. You use that by Sukkah also. Wherever the Torah writes the Hechsher Mitzvah, then the Torah says that's not like a typical Hechsher Mitzvah. The Nitziv has this idea in on the Shultis. Right? He wrote this in the Shultis. That whenever the Torah describes the Hechsher Mitzvah, that is no longer a regular Hechsher Mitzvah. That's why there's a possibility you can make a bracha on the building of a sukkah. Right? There's a tzad like that, you make a bracha when you build a sukkah. Building a sukkah is not the mitzvah, it's basukkah's teshu. Says that it's siv. Yeah, but if the mitzvah is written in the Torah how to do it, if the Torah doesn't say how to do it, the Torah says put on tefillin. And you got to figure out how to make tefillin. So you got to learn. How do you make the hide and this and that? So that's a Hechsher Mitzvah, shaloi ksuva b'Torah. That's regular Hechsher Mitzvah. But if it's a Hechsher Mitzvah, ksuva b'Torah, if the Torah gives the somewhat details, and the Torah does so by Mishkan. Torah is very clear how to build a Mishkan. So there, perhaps, then it becomes a Hechsher Mitzvah Ksuva B'Torah. Hechsher Mitzvah Ksuva B'Torah. So that's not like a regular Hechsher Mitzvah.
What does it tell you about Sukkah?
By Sukkah?
Yeah.
It says to build a Sukkah. It says Tassel, you should make a Sukkah.
It doesn't say how.
But the Mitzvah is not, the Torah didn't just say sit in the Sukkah. The Torah said do something to get to that result.
So by Tzitzis also.
Yeah, Tassel,
Gedilim Tassel Lacha.
Right.
Those are some of the examples. Okay, I thought that was just an interesting side note about how to understand the building of the Beis HaMikdash versus the building of the Mishkan. Back to our sugya at hand for a second. We have to deal with the Rashi of Chaf Dalet. The Rashi of Chaf Dalet in Amar Masechta and Shabbos is quoting a Ramban. The Ramban has a kasha about whether or not you're allowed to burn kachim on Yom Tov. Things that were nicer, things that need to be burned, you're allowed to burn them on Yom Tov. The whole discussion, again, I say Dechaloysa say, no, I say Dechaloysa say. So in the middle of that discussion, number five, the Ramban comes up with the Gevaldig Yisoid, which is something we've discussed a lot about, but here he puts it into clear-cut words. Says the Ramban, Mitirtz Ramban, because the kash over there is, why don't you say Efshel Kaim Shneim, just burn it after Yom Tov. The whole problem. About the whole discussion, can you burn Kachim on Yom Tov? Not burn it tomorrow.
What do you mean? Isn't there a mitzvah to do it right away?
Yeah, if it's Tuesday, you do it right away. If it's Shabbos, you push it off a day. It's not like, doesn't say you know, it has
like
to be done.
Words,
right, it's not like a B'yom HaShmini. The Torah says when you have, Kachim Shenifsulu, they need to be Nisraf, so burn them tomorrow. The question that we should deal with is that Efshel Kaim Shneim? We have a principle from Reish Lakish that we try to make everything work together. If I can make the Aseh and the Lav work together, beautiful. So Frek to be showing them. Here also, I have a great example. Burn it tomorrow. What's the greatest problem?
And Kisui Adam, is that something that has to be done right away? Maybe learn out from that.
There's no Chil Shabbos in Kisui Adam.
No. Covering up the moving the dirt after you kishak the
cover. Maybe a Derabbanan.
What?
It'll only be a Derabbanan.
It's not a Derisa, no?
I don't see. I'm not even sure what Derabbanan would be. If you're muchen the offer before, it's not even
muchen. No, if you're not muchen the offer.
It's still only be a Derabbanan. It'll be muktzah. So we'll believe that. We'll hopefully get to that today. I had plans of going vayta today. Okay.
Forget about it.
Rabbi Shmuel Shabbos. Now, I want to finish early because I know people have to go to Levi. I don't want to schlep it out today. I want to make sure to be on the clock today. But Chanukah party is not so much on Makbid, but for Levi is of great people and regular people also. I try to be Makbid to make sure we finish in time. But that's something I want to talk about also, Blinad, in the next sugya that we're going to get to, where Muktzah worked its way. But nonetheless, the Ramban as a Kasha, why don't we say it's Efshel Kaim Shneim? Dr. Ramban, Givalik, number five. Tirutz Ramban. What does it mean, Efshel Kaim Shneim? I can do both without ever having to violate the assay. Okay, I'm not going to go through all these examples. I just want to skip to where he writes, Aval hecha deloy efsher lekayim assay hayoyim, elo betchias lois assay, Unbelievable idea. What does it mean Efshel Kaim Shneim? We spoke about this Ramban earlier in other weeks. What does it mean Efshel Kaim Shneim? Means, can these two things coexist? The answer is they can't. Oh, I could do it tomorrow. Doing it tomorrow doesn't mean these two things coexist. Because tomorrow there's no love. The definition of Efshel Kaim Shneim, Zakti Ramban, is when I have two things work together. I can come up with a scenario where I have the Asay and I have the love and they can still work together. Doing it tomorrow is just circumventing the love. It's not having them work together. That's Ramban's idea. Yeah.
What does the chiddush of Asay Dechalotza say if it only applies when you can't do them together? I mean, obviously, if you can't do two, you can't do what's impossible. So, what does Asay Dechalotza teaching me?
And how does he learn it back in the sugya? You mean?
No, meaning if it only applies when I can't do both mitzvahs. So, why do I need a principle to tell me?
Sheval Tasa. I don't know. I would do Sheval Tasa. I wouldn't do anything. I would not do the mitzvah. I'd be passive instead of active. Mm-hmm. Maybe. Yeah, again, I think a lot of this stuff we do really need, you know, to learn better the sugya. But I just want for this part. Look what he says over here. He says, "I'll prove it to you." The Gemara in Yevamos says what? The Gemara is a kasha. Learn to say the chalosh to save the building of the Beis Hamikdash. The Tanya Yochli Beis Hamikdash Toichei Shabbos Tamadoyim Shabbosayis Tishmeru Umikdashi Tiro. Time with Amrachman Shabbosayis Tishmeru Alav Achi Dochi My Lav Bein Vesayis. What does it mean? It means to build. So you see, I say the chalosh to say. Vem Isa Frekter Ramban Frekter Rashba Heichav Shaloyim Akein. Do Abidi Beis Hamikdash Efshel Mocha. I can build the Beis Hamikdash tomorrow. I have to build it today. I understand. If there's a principle called Efshel L'Kayim Shneim, Efshel L'Kayim Shneim means just push it off a day. When I push it off tomorrow, they don't come in conflict. Mm-hmm. It's very simple. Why is the Gemara say, I say the Chalosh, I say on the Bidim, I say Migdash? What are you talking about? I'll do it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And then there won't be a conflict. Elamai, Zok, the Ramban, you see from over here, that's not what Efshel L'Kayim Shneim means. Efshel L'Kayim Shneim means that I can make them both work together on Shabbos, and that I can't do. I can't do the assay of V'asuli Mikdash and the love of Lois Chalal together. That's impossible.
What's the example of Efshel L'Kayim Shneim?
So Efshel L'Kayim Shneim, you could do, let's say, Chalitz instead of Yibum, which is very questionable. Let's, for example, you have an Arayis that you're not allowed to live with, so you can't do Yibum, so instead you do Chalitz. So instead of doing the lav, you'll do the assay of chalitza.
But it's not shneim then. The shneim was the okay. Yibum. And
that's the question.
You're also circumventing the
so that's the big kashan. So there's a tosis like that in Yevamos. Tosis has this kashan. Rashi's pshat. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara in Yevamos. Tosis says that's not Efshel L'Kayim Shneim. That's circumventing. Okay, that's the big. That's the long tosis in Yevamos that I didn't want to learn today.
But shouldn't it be an assay and a losas? Shouldn't it be an assay that has to be done, that arises on Shabbos, that it has to be done. It's a conflict. Binyan based on Mikdash, it's not specific to Shabbos, it's ongoing.
That's exactly where I want to get back into that discussion we had about Tzitzis and Mezuzah. What was the type of the nature of the mitzvah? Is it a 24-hour continuous mitzvah, or is it every day? I wake up Sunday morning, today I have a mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash. What's pshat in the mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash? This Rashba seems to be saying that the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, right? What type of nature of it? Is it one long mitzvah throughout my entire life? Every minute of my life I have a mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash? Or it's every day I have a separate mitzvah? So if I didn't build it today, I lost mitzvah today, I have a new mitzvah tomorrow. Because what's his kasha? The Rashba's kasha was, what do you mean? Why can't you build the Beis HaMikdash tomorrow? But then I lost today's mitzvah. How do we look at it? This was the old places we had a few weeks ago about Tzitzis and Mezuzah. Right. It's Tzitzis and Mezuzah over Zmanoi Botloi, or Loi over Zmanoi Botloi. I'm going to get back into that whole discussion. But what I want over here is from the Stipler. The Stipler in Yevamos quotes this Rashba, and he says there's a problem over here. There's a problem with our Tzitzis. Why? Because there's a Tzitzis in Yevamos. Tzitzis in Yevamos argues on this Rashba. This Rashba holds that building based on Mikdash and Shabbos is not called Efshel L'Kayim Shneim. Why? Because Efshel L'Kayim Shneim because I cannot do the two things together. Says the stipler number 6, V'yesh L'ayin, the sheet is not Tzitzis, but there's a Tzitzis in Yevamos, the side that holds, She'efshel L'mocher mechashv Efshel L'Kayim Shneim. Tzitzis holds, no, if I can do it tomorrow, that is called Efshel L'Kayim Shneim. That's what Tzitzis holds, argues on the Rashba. Therefore, now we got a big problem on our hands. If that's true, if Tosfos holds that Efshel L'Kayim Shneim is true, what I could do tomorrow, so now you go back to Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Fact of Stipler, how could the Gemara say that you should say Asay Dech Halayis by the Binyan Beis HaMikdash? What are you talking about? It's Efshel L'Kayim Shneim. Build the Beis HaMikdash tomorrow. Build it tomorrow. So according to the Rashi, building it tomorrow is not called Efshel L'Kayim Shneim. That's not an option. But according to Tosfos in Yevamos Dav Vav, that's called Efshel L'Kayim Shneim. So for like the Stipler, how's he going to learn our Gemara? Or the Gemara in Yevamos? Zok the Stipler? No. We have to revamp our understanding of the mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash. V'nireh So that's the staple number 7. V'nir the dasa toisvus. The alpha pisha etza maisa habenuya the base of migdosh. He mitzvah shetziva kodesh baruch hu. Again, we're not denying the fact. Putting aside what we saw from Rabbi Salveitchik, but says the staple. I'm not arguing on Tosfos and Shabbos. Tosfos and Shabbos said what? That the building of the base of migdosh is a mitzvah. K'moshe kasavnu with Tosfos. He quotes our Tosfos. Mikoma kama mitzvah nimsheches todir. It's a continuous mitzvah. The tachlis ha-mitzvah, shiye beis ha-migdosh, b'nuyev o'imid. This is where we're really splitting things. There is the act, and then there's the purpose, and then there's the result. Okay? There's a lot going on over there. So like the stipler, the Tosis will tell you that this is an ongoing, final result-based mitzvah. Get to having ha-komas ha-beis ha-migdosh. Therefore, he says, u'kimoy mitzvahs tefillin. He compares it to tefillin. The chesed says, u'kshartim, v'ha-mitzvah mekayim kol shosh ha-tefillin olav. It's what it's like Mila. We spoke about this by Mila. Mila, every minute you have a Mila, it's a continuous mitzvah. Here the stipler compares it to tefillin. This is why people like to leave on the tefillin longer. You ever wonder why people leave? Why do people learn on the tefillin? Davening's over. The answer is because every minute you're wearing your tefillin, you're getting another mitzvah. So the longer you wear your tefillin, the more mitzvahs you get. So therefore says the stipler, what are you going to tell me? I could do it tomorrow. Why? Since it's a continuous mitzvah, it's not a one-time event. The clock is always running. Always, build a mitzvah, it's continuous. It's not like a one-time event, like Sreifas Kachim. You got to burn the kachim once. So that one-time event, I could either do today or I could do tomorrow. So that's called Efshel Kayim Shleim. I'll do it tomorrow. I don't lose anything by doing it. However, it says the disciple, when it comes to Binyan Beis HaMikdash, it's not like that. The clock is continuous every second. Why didn't I build a Beis HaMikdash? Therefore, there's no option of saying, well, I could do it tomorrow. And this is borrowed from a Taisha that we learned together. Taisha says, Sittim Zuzah, the Choshev im Ovez Mani Batla. We looked at Sittis im Ovez Mani Batla. Right? If I don't put on Sittis today, I lost the mitzvah. What do you mean I can put on Sittis tomorrow? The answer is because that's not the nature of the mitzvah. The mitzvah is a continuous mitzvah. Every second I have to do it. Because it's a 24 continuous mitzvah movement. Therefore, says the stipler, that's pshat in our Taisus. Taisus is going to learn the mitzvah of Binyan Beis HaMikdash is doimit to the mitzvah of tzitzis. Just like by tzitzis, we said it's a continuous mitzvah. Whenever it's a continuous mitzvah, there's no option of doing it tomorrow because tomorrow you would already lose out.
Is there a difference between the mitzvah that's on the tzibur or on the cloud versus the individual? So in case of if one's up against the other, and in this case, let's say Binyan Beis HaMikdash, if it's classified, is that on everybody individually?
I would assume every person has their own individual involvement of also limikdash as much as they could do. So the truth is, the Chassam Sofer has a kash over here. Chassam Sofer asks, and I guess we'll wrap up with this for today. Chassam Sofer asks, I don't understand. Ein achanami binyan beis hamikdash is not deicha Shabbos, but what about binyan beis hamikdash for the sake of karbonis? We know that hechsher karbonis is deicha Shabbos according to Eliezer. Eliezer holds, I'm allowed to kill animals or bring animals and trap animals to bring them for karbonis because hechsher karbonis is deicha Shabbos. So why shouldn't I be allowed to build a base of Middash? Not for the mitzvah of Asali Mikdosh. The mitzvah of Asali Mikdosh, Enachanami, Istaka, not Deicha Shabbos. But I should be allowed to build a base of Middash just so I can be able to bring Karbonis. But if you hold...
If it's the last brick that'll finish it so that today is Shabbos, I can actually...
So that's what Rabbi Chanan answers. That's what Rabbi Chanan answers. Rabbi Chanan writes a Karbitar, Enachanami. If everything else is ready to go, and I just need one more brick to be in business, Enachanami, Zokta Bechanan, then according to this Cheshbin, you would be allowed to. Zokta Chsam Sefer, no, not so fast. Zokta Chsam Sefer, it doesn't work. Why? Because Rabbi Eliezer Lishitasi holds that it's not, you don't need status of Binyan Beis HaMikdash for Hakarvas Karbonis. It's not Talazeh Bezeh. Sefer Zokta Chsam Sefer, it's not Negei. Okay. Mitzvah Shem, next week we're going to go weiter and start to talk about each mitzvah individually and figure out which mitzvah is Deicha Shabbos, why not, and we'll move on. Next week we'll talk more about Lulav. We'll take a little bit of a break from Mila. We'll talk about some other Inyanim as well.